morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host this morning, joined by our live blog director, John Rahor. And we are talking some Packers football. We are navigating through the NFL offseason right now. We're getting near the end of the league year. I think it technically ends the day before free agency begins. It's like the official end of one season and the beginning of another. I mean, you know, most people think the league year ends after the Super Bowl ends. Technically not. You know, there's still players under contract. You know, the guys who are going to be free agents, the guys like, Matt Flynn right now, still technically a member of the Packers. But 2 weeks from now, he may or may not be. And probably not. And that's what makes things real interesting. And just 3 short days from now is the deadline to place franchise and transition tags on players. And of course, that has implications for mostly Matt Flynn, perhaps, and even a lesser extent, Center Scott Wells. But, just interesting to keep tabs on here. And we'll be watching. John on the live blog says, you know, Ted is going on a spending spree soon. That's a tongue twister. Aaron Smith, Mario Williams, Drew Brees, all future Packers. Of course. You shouldn't expect the Packers to get big time involved in free agency. It's certainly not out of the question that they'll sign a free agent, but nobody in the realm of Mario Williams or Drew Brees, that's for sure. But we wait for this franchise tag deadline, which is on Monday. So just a couple days away. And you know, that's going to indicate how the Packers are going to play out free agency to an extent. They have this choice. They can place the franchise tag on Matt Flynn. They would only do so, however, if they have like a trade in place with another team. That's a requirement. They can't just place the franchise tag on Matt Flynn and hope and pray later that they could trade him. It's just not the way it works. That's way too risky. As the Packers would be on the hook for his $14 million salary, and then other teams would have all the bargaining power, knowing the Packers have to get rid of him. So that's why they wouldn't just place the tag on him and hope and pray they can trade him. They would have to have a trade already in place. And that's kind of against the rules in the NFL. You know, they're not supposed to technically be negotiating with other teams. But it's something that's, you know, happened in the past and kind of looked the other way when it happens in the NFL. Packers did with Corey Williams, you know, what was that, in 2008? And it's done with Matt Cassel before, of the Patriots to the Chiefs. So it's not without precedent. And, you know, Tom Silverstein has been doing a great job at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JS Online, their online version of the paper, you know, kind of, you know, keeping up to date on the possibility of that happening and saying it's rather unlikely. And it could be. It's, you know, but there's still a glimmer of hope that it could happen, in that a team out there is desperate enough to trade for Matt Flynn. That needs a quarterback so bad that they're going to give something up for him. And really, it pretty much has to be better than a third-round draft choice. Because if the Packers just allow Matt Flynn to walk away in free agency, they're going to get a third-round draft choice in next year's draft, more than likely. And that's good news if you're a Packers fan. You know, just he leaves and they get a draft pick, albeit next year. But, I mean, they get something in return. So if the Packers are actually going to go through this whole franchise tag and then trade him or deal, they got to get something better than a third rounder. And you know, they have to consider that. And they're hoping to get either a second rounder or a first rounder, albeit less likely that they'd get something like that. Or as we breached about the topic here at Cheesehead TV, the possibility of even packaging Matt Flynn in a first-round draft choice, late first-rounder, to move up into the top 10. It's the possibilities are remote, but it could happen. Again, just based upon how desperate a team might be for quarterback help, like the Browns or the Dolphins. And so that's we wait and see. And of course, you know, a lot of things play into that. Whether another team is going to get involved in the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. Whether they want to be involved with the risk that comes with that. Whether they want to give up enough to get Robert Griffin. Of course, it's been said many times the Rams want to trade out of the number two draft choice. Because, you know, they want more in return. They don't need a quarterback. And they can allow a team to, you know, draft Robert Griffin there. And you know, they so far, you know, it's been said and thought that the asking price is going to be awful high for the number two pick in the draft. Awful high. So It's just so interesting at this time of year when nothing is certain and it's all entirely speculation. And that's what this show is for, to speculate on what might happen, what could happen. You know, I wrote a blog post the other day, 2 days ago, I believe it was Monday, on the possibility of the Packers actually placing the transition tag on Scott Wells, which is kind of... It's very complicated, and you know, it's almost crazy enough that it could work. You know, of course, the thinking is that Scott Wells is probably deserving of a contract somewhere around the $5 million range, give or take, and probably give, I suppose, might be a little more than that. But the Packers don't want to overpay for him, especially a guy who's over 30 years old. He's probably, you know, reached his peak and he'll now be on the downturn, although centers in the NFL certainly can play at a high level even into their late 30s. But, you know, they don't want to overpay for him. And the thing with placing the transition tag on Scott Wells is it would make him, for 1 year, guaranteed, the highest paid center in the NFL, right around $8.5 million. And there's, of course, the risk that Scott Wells would, you know, sign that tender and the Packers would be on the hook for that. And, you know, I think there's worse things than that happening. That is a really high salary for a center and Scott Wells. And it would hamper the Packers' ability to not only sign their own free agents, guys like Jared Bush, Ryan Grant, etc. It would also hamper their ability to extend any players with contracts currently on the roster. Guys who, you know, you think the Packers are going to have to sign to a contract extension soon. The elite players like Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, Greg Jennings. But here's where the crazy part comes in with the possibility of placing the transition tag on Scott Wells is there's risk in Scott Wells doing that and actually signing it because, and listen with me here, just follow with me through this. It's very complicated and there's multifacets to it. It's multifaceted. If Scott Wells were to sign that tender, he'd be in the same place a year from now. Okay? He would be a free agent again next year. The transition tag is only good for 1 year. And so, does Scott Wells want to take that risk? What if he doesn't have that good of a season in 2012? Or even if he does have a good season, what if he gets injured? I mean, this is a guy who's had some injury issues in his career. Nothing too major with Scott Wells. Nothing too major at all. Minor stuff. But anyhow, you know, what if all of a sudden he does tears an ACL? Who knows? Then he's not going to get anything next year. So there's a reason there that, you know, he may not sign that tender. He might say, okay, I'm not going to spend it. And you know what that does, though? He still gets to test out free agency. He still can sign with another team. And so what that allows the Packers to do is, you know, let Scott Wells test free agency. And if he signs with another team, the Packers have the option to match that contract. It's crazy, but I mean, it just might work. You know, if they want to match an offer he receives, they can. If they find that it's affordable, if they can live with it, and if not, well, he leaves. But I mean, he would leave in free agency anyway. What the transition tag is, it gives the Packers the option of matching. If Scott Wells just leaves in free agency and they don't place a tag on him, the Packers have no option of matching. He just signs with whoever he wants and perhaps leaves and goes. So it's almost crazy enough to work in that there's enough risk involved that Scott Wells may not want to sign that tender. Question here from Ted the Sledge. What if he doesn't sign with another team until free agency and the draft have passed? They could really be over a barrel then if they didn't address center. Good question. There would be urgency for Wells, though, to sign a deal and perhaps a more moderate contract, you know, something reasonable. So I guess, you know, you look at that and you know, it would be one of those things like if Scott Wells finds out free agency isn't really what it's all cracked out to be and he doesn't have that many suitors, well, then, you know, there probably is a certain point at which he would accept that transition tag and would then sign it. I don't know what that date is. I don't know how long they have to do it. But there you go. Stuart comments on the live blog here. The biggest factor to Wells re-sign may be the level of drivers restructure. And then says, where is your money, Clifton or driver? And that's a good question here. And these are things that may play out over the course of the next couple weeks here. Very interesting stuff, okay? Now, if I'm correct, and I could be wrong here, let's take a look at each Clifton and driver. And by the way, I'll throw the phone number up on the live blog as well here. If you want to call into the show, give your 2 cents, phone number is 347-352-0154. Feel free to call in, give your thoughts. But, it's time's running out here. To an extent on Clifton and Driver. And if I'm correct, I think they're going to have to make the decision on Clifton before free agency begins. So the Packers have a little over 2 weeks, if I'm correct, to make this decision on Chad Clifton because of the amount of his contract. and the money it might take to re-sign other guys on their roster. And that's the thing. That's why they would need to cut Chad Clifton in 2 weeks. The money they'll need for other players, other signings, to sign Jarrett Bush, to sign Ryan Grant, if they choose to do so, or to sign anybody else in free agency. As we said, we know they're not going to sign some big name, but it's possible they'll sign somebody else. And so the Packers have to decide, what are they going to do with Chad Clifton? All of a sudden, this report comes out of the NFL Combine that Chad Clifton had off-season back surgery and felt instant relief that he's, feeling good after a season which he missed a majority of the year. So what do you do? Do you go with Chad Clifton again for another season? Or do you go with Marshall Newhouse? Personally, I think it's time to move on. I think the Packers go with Marshall Newhouse and Brian Bulaga as their tackles. And you've got, hopefully, Derek Sherrod waiting in the wings. I know he's a little bit of an injury situation, but right now he's just projected to be a backup anyway. So I think you actually cut Chad Clifton. Ideally, maybe he retires and you don't have to do that even, perhaps, if you're the Packers, from a Packers perspective. But I mean, I just don't think Chad Clifton is worth, the $5 or so million salary he's at anymore. In 2012, I'm just not sure he's going to be that effective. If he's going to be any more effective than Marshall Newhouse. I just don't see that happening. You could use that cap space. I think you got to cut Chad Clifton here. And it's going to happen within 2 weeks. Or about 2 weeks. And then we have Donald Driver. And apparently, Donald Driver has a $200,000 bonus due at the new league year. Okay, so I've heard or read that that's the only thing that, might prevent him from, signing happening immediately. $200,000. Yes, the Packers would be on the hook for that immediately at the start of the new league year. But in the whole scheme of things, $200,000 isn't a huge amount of money. That's a hit they can absorb. Sure, it would be nice if he would restructure his contract, as he said he's open to doing. I personally think the Packers should attempt to do that with him. Restructure his contract to something very manageable. Make it very incentive-laden. If he has a good year, if he has a year like he had in 2011, what did he have? He had six touchdowns, right? And 400-plus yards. Not a great season by any means, but Donald Driver was a contributor in 2011, a big contributor. And, of course, he had the big playoff game. I still think he has what it takes to be effective in the NFL. So I think you try to restructure. And you know what? If things don't work out after the restructure, then he can always be cut and you don't have to, worry about a whole lot of cap hit later. Or he could actually even be traded, perhaps, during training camp around that time of year. As rare as something like that happens. But a team might actually be willing to do it if he doesn't cost all that much and the Packers decide a guy like Torrey Gurley or DeAndre Burrell are ready to step in and take over. Stuart says on the live blog, maybe players will get a PR escalator for appearing on Dancing with the Stars. So it's, there's all these hypothetical situations going on right now, and you have no clue where the Packers are going to go. Again, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here what they may do. And it's really anybody's guess. You know, some scenarios are certainly more likely than others, but we just don't know. And one more topic I wanted to address here on the show today, an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday by Bob McGinn, saying that Brad Jones and Jamari Lattimore are going to receive more playing time in 2012. Or that's the plan, or saying that they think could happen. Of course, barring injury, of course. But and not just at outside linebacker, but guys who could be inside linebacker, outside linebacker hybrids. And kind of an interesting idea. The Packers have kind of, you know, discussed doing that with Brad Jones in the past. In fact, you know, there was that time this past year when both A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop missed a game. Both of them did. You remember that time? And, you know, they were a little bit shaky there at inside linebacker, and they had Brad Jones practicing there just in case. And, you know, so the Packers really trying to decide what they're going to do at outside linebacker. And, you know, even they don't really know right now because, you know, maybe it's a position they end up addressing in the draft, and maybe not. Well, I mean, at some point they're going to draft an outside linebacker. You just don't know if it's going to be in the first round or the fifth round. I mean, with 12 picks, at some point, and very likely they'll pick one. So that's where the Packers are at. And, you know, of course, you know, they start Eric Walden all season in 2011. Does okay. Kind of falls out of favor at the end of the year. Packers go with Brad Jones in the playoffs and the final regular season game, and he does okay. He gets a sack in each game, and they kind of feel that he's, you know, what Mike McCarthy say in that article? He's a slippery player, kind of has guys have a hard time blocking him, and that works to his advantage. And they feel that he's not a three-down player, perhaps, a guy who might wear down, particularly in the running game, you know, if he's got to play all the snaps. So they think Brad Jones plays well when he's kept fresh. And I suppose most players fall into that category. If, you know, they play fewer downs and they can go all out for the downs they do play. But be interesting to see if, you know, he's maybe kept at outside linebacker on rushing downs and or maybe early downs and then plays inside linebacker on something like late downs, passing downs. A.J. Hawk comes off the field and is replaced by Brad Jones. How about that possibility? There you go. Brad Jones plays outside linebacker on first and second down, and then on third down, he replaces A.J. Hawk, and the Packers bring a pass-rushing specialist in on third downs. Whether that's a rookie, or maybe that's Jamari Lattimore, or maybe that's Vic Saoto. We'll see. Ted the Sledge comments on the live blog, "Walden is gone. I doubt they re-sign him." Very interesting thought there, too. Don't know what's going to happen. Mike McCarthy said he'd like to see him back. That's what he said again in another interview at the NFL Combine by Bob McGinn. It's amazing, Bob McGinn. I think he gets a one-on-one interview with Mike McCarthy at the NFL Combine some point there, and a rather lengthy one, because he gets all these scoops at the Combine. All of a sudden, for the past week, you know, Bob McGinn reports all these things. He reports on this Brad Jones, Jamari Lattimore story. He reports that Mike McCarthy would like to see Eric Walden back, but again, that's just the head coach speaking. The head coach doesn't have the choice into whether what the front office does. They might very well let Eric Walden test free agency. I think they will. He reports that Charles Woodson will not be moving to safety. You know, what else did Bob McGinn report in the past week? All sorts of these stories. The stuff about the center position, how the Packers actually met with the agent of free agent center Chris Myers. And you know what? I mean, if Scott Wells happens to leave, that may be one position actually where the Packers do go after somebody in free agency and a guy who's not just an also-ran, a guy who could be a starter. But that's the only scenario, is if Scott Wells leaves. You know, they have to address the center position somehow. Somehow, some way. And so that's where you're at with the Packers right now. So now we wait until Monday at least. Things will become a little bit more clear after Monday and that deadline passes. Who knows? Maybe by Monday, the next episode of Railbird Central, we'll be talking about the Packers have traded Matt Flynn. The deal is done. They did the whole tag and trade because it's got to be done in the next 3 days. You know, that deadline is there for that franchise tag. It's not a given, and the possibility is not all that great. But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the next 3 days. So things will be a little bit clearer. And you know what? If Matt Flynn is not franchise tagged, then you know he's leaving in free agency and the Packers will get a third-round draft choice next year. We'll know that'll happen. So that won't be an uncertainty anymore. By the end of Monday, we'll know that for sure. John commenting on the live blog, what would a tag and trade bring? A first and third, a second and third? It would bring a first or a second round draft choice to the Packers. One or the other. If it does happen, this whole tag and trade thing with Matt Flynn, a team would probably give up an early second round draft choice. You know, it'd be one of those things where a team with an early second-round draft pick, like the Browns or the Dolphins, would give up their second-rounder to get Matt Flynn. And that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, getting a nice high second-round draft choice for if you're, you know, the Packers. Or they'd be doing one of those package deals where they'd package Flynn in their first-rounder for a high first-rounder. So that's what you would get. You'd get one or the other there. A high second rounder or a high first rounder that you package with the first round draft choice. That's what you're looking at if they can tag and trade Matt Flynn. And probably the more likely scenario would be the second round draft choice. How about that though? I mean, if you're the Browns or the Dolphins, would you give up a second rounder to get your quarterback? One of them, you got to think, has got to go that way. Only one team is going to get Robert Griffin. You know, the other has to address the quarterback position somehow. So, you know, right now it's like, who's going to do that? And, you know, if Matt Flynn goes to free agency, he can go wherever he wants. He doesn't just have to go to one of these teams with a high second-round draft choice. He can go sign with the Seahawks if he wants. They're in the middle of the second round. So we'll see where we stand a couple days from now. Be an interesting weekend and interesting off-season for that matter. But anyhow, folks, thank you so much for joining me here on Railbird Central this morning here at CheeseheadTV.com. Have a great weekend. Have a terrific Friday here. Apparently the snowstorm of the century is coming. We'll see how much snow we get. Maybe not the century, but that's the word anyway, is we're going to get a couple inches later today, at least if you live in the Midwest. But wherever you are, have a good weekend, everyone. We'll see you here Monday. I think Kareem Copeland of the Green Bay Press Gazette is going to join us here on Monday on Railbird Central. On behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Kiravu for Railbird Central. We'll see everyone. I'll leave you with a song called Cemetery Walk 2 by Humphreys McGee on Psi Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.